Does the gospel free you to do what you want? I've written an article in the latest issues, etc. journal titled Better Than Good, Failed Attempts to Improve on the Gospel. You can read it by subscribing to the online Issues, etc. journal. Just click the red subscription button in the right-hand column at issuesetc.org. You can also read Pastor Brian Ketchelmeyer's spiritual journey from Roman Catholicism and American Evangelicalism to Confessional Lutheranism. The free online Issues, Etc. journal. Just a few words here from the Sermon on the Mount. This is Christ teaching about swearing or prohibiting swearing. It certainly sounds like what he's saying. Again, you have heard it said to those of old, you shall not swear falsely, but shall perform to the Lord what you have sworn. So he prohibits, in the Old Testament, the false swearing. Jesus says, I say to you, don't swear at all. Now, is Jesus trying to meddle in the civil realm? Is he saying that where oaths are called for, and there are lots of places in the world even today where oaths are called for, where swearing is called for, that Christians are not to do it? It's part 44 of our series on Martin Luther and the Reformation with Dr. Ken Scherb. We're going to take up those words and try and see how Luther deals with them in their proper context and ends up concluding, Luther does, that a Christian ought to swear when called upon to do so, but never on his own behalf. We'll find out what all of that means as our series continues with Dr. Ken Scherb, pastor of Zion Lutheran Church in Moberly, Missouri. He has a PhD in history from Ohio State University, formerly served as a theology professor at Concordia University, Ann Arbor, Michigan, and as an assistant to the president of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. Ken, welcome back to Issues, Etc.
Hi, Todd. Good to see you today.
These are the verses that we're going to talk about today, beginning at verse 33. Again, you have heard it said to those of old, you shall not swear falsely, but shall perform to the Lord what you have sworn. But I say to you, do not take an oath at all, either by heaven, for it is the throne of God, or by the earth, for it is his footstool, or by Jerusalem, for it is the city of the great king. And do not take an oath by your head, for you cannot make one hair white or black. Let what you say simply be yes or no. Anything more comes from the evil one. Now, Luther notes here that this is a strong prohibition against swearing and that it's a puzzling passage.
Yeah, it's kind of interesting as Luther gets deeper and deeper into Matthew 5, as he gets deeper and deeper into this section of the chapter where Christ is talking about one point of clarification of the law after another. You can kind of see the cumulative force of Luther's argument building because he's expecting Christ to be consistent, the kind of pattern of thought that was established early on when Christ was talking about murder and then talking about adultery carries over here. Luther is seeing the passage, in other words, in context. And he says the problem is a lot of interpreters over the years have not seen it in context. They've just swooped in, plucked these verses out, and boy, it sure looks like it's saying you don't ever dare swear. But even those scholars in days prior to Luther had to stop and say, well, now, wait a second, Christ was on trial. He was put under oath. The Apostle Paul, likewise. And you can look in the Old Testament and see passages like Deuteronomy 6. It is the Lord your God you shall fear, him you shall serve, and by his name you shall swear. So, you know, what do we got here? Are we supposed to swear or are we not? And Luther says, without using these words, my characterization, context is the key to understanding this.
We pointed this out the last time we talked. Christ is not here in these words trying to interfere with the legal system or the secular realm.
Right. He's not telling governments that you need to have laws against swearing. And unless you have the same kind of law against swearing that you find here in Matthew 5 in the Sermon on the Mount, there's something wrong. Luther says what Christ is doing here is preaching about how individual Christians should behave in their everyday life. Now, that's kind of a first line of clarification. It doesn't solve all the questions that people have had with respect to this passage, but it's a start.
But you said context. Mm-hmm. So how does Luther frame the context?
Again, think of what Christ had said previously about murder. Think of what he had said about adultery in the verses preceding. Killing is wrong. And yet, government officials can do that to punish evildoers. Desiring a woman is wrong, but not when the woman involved is your wife. And so, Luther says, there are things that are right and good for those who have a word or command from God to do them in a certain case. What is prohibited is the woman that God has not given you, the anger that God has not demanded of you. But if it is demanded of you, it's no longer, Luther says, your anger, in effect, but God's anger. It's no longer your desire, but the desire that God has given and ordained. And now he says, take all that and drag it into this section here on swearing, that whole pattern of thought. What you have to do with respect to swearing is determine whether or not you have a word of God for it.
So he points out that, again, the for Christ's contemporaries, they'd found a way in this commandment to interpret it so that they could basically swear freely.
Yeah, interpret it in such a way as to, well, interpret it away. They had developed, Luther says, a distinction between oaths that were valid and those that were not. And that allowed them to have quite a bit of freedom to swear. You could swear by Jerusalem, not by God, but by Jerusalem. You could swear by your own head. Not swearing by God, I'm swearing by my own head. And everything would be okay, they thought, because you're not swearing in the name of God.
What's the other abuse that he's dealing with here? Would we call it frivolous swearing?
Yeah, there is swearing where you are taking God's name and using God to kind of attest to the truth of what you're saying. And there's also the frivolous swearing, which is related, where you just attach God's name to just about every word. And Luther says, just like there should be no cursing by God's name, there should be no swearing by God's name. And he adds a point about cursing, as long as he kind of brought that up by way of the back door. He says, even with regard to cursing, there are examples in the Bible where people cursed in a good and God-pleasing way. Noah cursed Ham, if you recall from Genesis 9. And Luther says, still today, Christians must curse. For example, and I love this line from Luther, no one can pray the Lord's Prayer correctly without cursing. For when you pray, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done, you must also be saying, curses, maledictions, and disgrace be upon every other name and every other kingdom. Luther, remember, is always thinking in these terms. He always thinks of what is a biblical teaching and what is the opposite. So if we're praying for God's name to be made holy among us, we must be saying curses on the devil's kingdom.
Now, again, he comes back to proceed only with God's word. Don't do your cursing or your swearing unless you have a word of God.
Exactly. And the way he puts it is, the distinction is that no one should curse or swear on his own unless he has a word of God telling him to do so. And so, for example, those who are in a particular office in the government where they have to take an oath upon entering that office, or a witness swearing to tell the truth in court, is obeying the prince. If the prince summons you to go to war, again, reflecting the commandment on murder, you're obligated to go and obey your prince and go and fight.
Now, it's about acting on your own behalf or on someone else's behalf, isn't it?
Yeah, a lot of it comes down to this, and this is kind of a good litmus test because, of course, Luther says you don't swear unless you have a word of God for it. Well, the word of God says you should love your neighbor as yourself. Ask yourself, therefore, are you going to be helping yourself, or are you doing this to love your neighbor? He says Christ is forbidding unauthorized, capricious, habitual swearing, but swearing is good when it's done in obedience to the government, and swearing is good when it is done in love for one's neighbor. And so Luther gives an example. He says, even if the government's not requiring it, I may see somebody in spiritual need and danger, somebody who's weak in faith, despondent in their conscience, and I might say to console this person, to comfort this person with an oath, this is the truth and word of God. Just as surely as God lives and Christ dies, Now, that's an oath. But Luther says here, an oath is necessary. It's even indispensable to comfort that person, to serve your neighbor. Or he gives another example. You might need to exonerate or defend a neighbor and rescue his reputation from evil attacks and say, by God, you are doing that person an injustice. That's not swearing for your benefit. That's swearing for the benefit of your neighbor, which is exactly what God wants you to do, is love and serve your neighbor.
He even goes so far as to say, may God give you the grace to swear, to rebuke, to get angry, and to do everything you can.
Yeah.
What's he talking about?
Well, where you do have that word from God that says this is where you need to swear, then by all means, you should do it. And yeah, may God give you the grace in that situation to do what you should do. But where it would transgress or exceed the word of God to be swearing, where it would not be a matter of divine command, would not be a matter of your neighbor's need or benefit, Luther says, then don't do it. He says, God does not want anything at all on your initiative without his word, regardless of what it is, even if you knew how to raise the dead. It puts you in mind, Todd, of how Luther thought about his own doctoral oath. You know, he had sworn an oath to teach the truth and reject error. And really, everything he did for the rest of his life in the course of the Reformation was, in effect, living out that oath, loving God and serving his neighbor.
So how does he summarize all of this? How would you crystallize it in Luther's words?
Well, I'll give it to you in a direct quote from Luther. He says, no one should swear on his own authority at all. But the addition of these two elements, either a command or a necessity, means that you are no longer swearing on your own authority. You're not doing it on your own behalf, but on behalf of him who demands it of you, your government or your neighbor's need or God's commandment.
Dr. Ken Sherb is pastor of Zion Lutheran Church in Moberly, Missouri. He has a PhD in history from Ohio State University and formerly served as a theology professor at Concordia University in Ann Arbor, Michigan, and as an assistant to the president of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. Ken, again, thank you very much.
Thank you, Todd.
Folks, if you're enjoying our series on Martin Luther and the Reformation with Dr. Ken Sherb, check out the Master of Arts in Theology program at Concordia University, Irvine, California. Reformation Studies is one of the emphases that's offered there. Courses are taught online and at intensive online sessions during the summer. You can find out more at cui.edu/theology, cui.edu/theology. When we come back, it's listener email and the Issues Etc. comment line. Stay tuned.
Listen weekday afternoons to Pastor Todd Wilkin and guests on Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is vital for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our mailing address, Issues Etc., P.O. Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also donate at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues Etc. is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.
Thanks to the following congregations for standing with us by joining the Issues Etc. 300. Emmanuel Lutheran, Alexandria, Virginia; Bethel Lutheran, Ballinger, Texas; Mount Calvary Lutheran, Eola, Texas; Beautiful Savior Lutheran, Bridgeton, Missouri; Christ Our King Community Lutheran, Costa Mesa, California; Lord of Life Lutheran, Plano, Texas; Christ Lutheran, Platte Woods, Missouri; Hope Lutheran, Sonora, Texas; Faith Lutheran, Azona, Texas; and Emmanuel Lutheran, Steger, Illinois. Find out how your church can support this worldwide outreach by including Issues Etc. in your mission or advertising budget. Just go to our website, issuesetc.org, and click support. When your congregation joins the Issues Etc. 300, we'll advertise your congregation on the radio, at our website, and in the Issues Etc. journal. issuesetc.org, click support. The Issues Etc. 300.
Do you have skills as a coder, designer, writer, marketer, project manager, or are interested in building websites? Do you want to help the church proclaim Christ and Him crucified to the digital world that we live in? If yes, you should join our WordSites team. WordSites is a group of tech-savvy volunteers who help fellow Lutheran organizations build effective websites. Plus, we have fun while we're doing it. To submit your name or to learn more, visit WordSites.org. WordSites, your confessional Lutheran website. Reformed.
I'm talking with regular guest Dr. Ken Sherb about a new book by one of his former professors. Which one, Ken?
The late Dr. Kurt Marquardt, and the book is The Saving Truth, Doctrine for Lay People.
You edited this book.
Yeah, the unpublished manuscript was among Marquardt's papers, and it is vintage Marquardt, lively, engaging, centering in the Christ who saves, with an apologetics chapter at the end.
You can find out more about Saving Truth, Doctrine for Lay People at lutheracademy.com.